flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I was just driving around, took Chess to get some ice cream. We had to go do some things for NBC. Went to go get me a cheesesteak. Shout out to Omar Metro Cafe. Got me a nice little cheesesteak. I forgot the Baseball Hall of Fame. I forgot all about the announcement. Like, I didn't know the announcement was coming up. And I just look at my email. It's like Ichiro, CC Sabathia, Bobby Wagner. Here's a Zoom link to talk to ask her questions. And I'm like, what is going on here? Wait, the Hall of Baseball Hall of Fame announcement was yesterday. So, hey, Baseball Hall of Fame announcement. And it is good because I don't even get outraged.
So it's a new year, 2025. And you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over it anymore. I don't like the whole time with Barry Bonds being on the ballot and guys like Roger Clemens being on the ballot and falling off the ballot.
Sheffield,
like you're not going to Hall of Fame. Gary Sheffield's not a baseball Hall of Famer.
You ask people who
criminal.
Pitched against him.
Right.
You see Gary Sheffield on deck and you're like, oh God.
Billy Wagner, go ask him. Yeah, go ask him.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, Sheffield, Hall of Famer? Yeah. Anyway. But I am happy for Ichiro, and I know we're going to get to him, but also the Bay Area's own, Vallejo's own, CC Sabathia, who had a spectacular career. It's great to see CC get his due.
Absolutely.
And he's going to join a museum of gods, man. That's really cool for CC.
You know, obviously the modern way of playing baseball when it comes to starting pitching has diluted everything. You know, guys don't take the ball like they used to. Mm-hmm. And you know, anybody who's playing, coaching, whatever, in a lot of these tournaments, there's something to be said for, and you don't want anyone to get hurt, but there's something to be said for just being out there and being consistent for 15 years plus. I mean, this is a guy who pitched 17, 18 years in the bigs, and if you just look at his logs, like 33 starts, 33 starts, 30 starts, 30 starts, like over and over for almost 16 straight years.
Yeah.
You give your body to the sport and to your team. And someone like CeCe Sabathia, when I view him, it's the same thing with Ichiro. He's a guy that makes me smile. He's a guy that always, I felt, had fun while playing. And I thought that his joy came across on the television. And as a local guy, seeing all the like tweets yesterday from the Vallejo Little League circuit that was putting out pictures. I mean, how freaking cool is that?
He's done a lot for that region, that city. First bat of Hall of Famer, CeCe Sabathia.
It's crazy.
Wow. Six-time All-Star, World Series champion 09, Cy Young Award winner, ALCS MVP in 09, a two-time MLB wins leader. He has over 3,000 strikeouts. He has 251 wins. Look, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? I don't know. We could debate that if you want to, but he, to me, was a Hall of Famer. He was one of the better pitchers during his era, during his stretch. There's no doubt about that. So I'm happy he got into the Hall of Fame. And then there's a no-doubter with Ichiro Suzuki. I mean, no-brainer, right?
I think that he is, like, there's a short list of foreign-born North American athletes who have an 100% approval rating when it comes to, like, the Q rating. Ichiro's at the top of the list. Does anyone have a negative thing to say about Ichiro Suzuki?
Nah, I don't think so.
The way I viewed him was another guy who loved the game of baseball, played it in such a unique way to the American audience in terms of I'm basically like running down the line as I'm slapping it. And when your name is next to Pete Rose in terms of consecutive 200 hit seasons, do you know how unbelievable that is? Pete Rose, it's like when anyone, and I saw this with Travis Kelce over the weekend, he's just surpassed Jerry Rice in terms of playoff numbers. And it's like, dude, you know how good you have to be to beat some of these video game numbers from Pete Rose? When you finish baseball paying almost 20 years and you have a 311 batting average, come on, man. A 311. He had 3,000 hits and...
He didn't get into the league till he was, what, 27 years old?
But
37 years old.
Apparently, he had like 1,000 hits in the Japanese league he came from.
Yeah,
you're looking at a guy that you know legitimately had 4,000 or 5,000 hits in his baseball life.
He had 1,278 hits in
Come
Japan.
Come on.
3,089 in Major League Baseball, 311 batting average. The knock on him before he came was that, yeah, it's not going to work out. He's kind of a slap hitter. He's frail, yada, yada, yada. We heard the story about Lou Piniella saying, man, all this guy does is slap hit. What's going on? Ichiro hears it. He starts knocking him out the park. Then, of course, his first, what was that, the first week of the season? Was it the first week? Maybe it's game 8, game 9, whatever it was. But at the Oakland Coliseum, where Terrence Long tried to run on him.
Oh, yeah.
And Ichiro threw him out from right field with a hose. And it was like, oh, boy, pound for pound, this guy might be one of the best baseball players in the league right now. And so that rookie season, and I remember my buddy George, who's living out there in Japan. He played the Little League for Grattan Playground. I played for the Hawks out of Kemble Park. But we went to Hoover together, me, him, and Umair. And George was all about Ichiro when he first came out. Oh, we got this guy Ichiro, man. He was half Japanese. I'm like, George, dude, chill, dude. Like, we'll see. Relax. And he was right about him. Right away, he was like, yo, this guy Ichiro coming up from Japan, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right, whatever. All right, whatever. They need some marketing in Seattle.
No, he's
ridiculous. Nintendo founders or whatnot. No, he was ridiculous. And one of the more likable players we've seen in over the last 30, 40 years.
No question. And when I think about his style of play and, like, hit him where you ain't, like, it's something that you don't see a lot in today's modern day where guys, you know, go with the pitch. He's got more Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs in him in terms of his approach at the plate than he does the modern player. And I think that he played an intoxicating brand of baseball. He also stole a lot of bases.
Right.
People don't look at that.
509 bases.
He stole a lot of bases. You know, I mean, he was just an absolute monster. And I always think of this, like, for a Seattle sports, when you lose Ken Griffey and Randy Johnson in a short period of time, who, to me, that is Mariner baseball. You know, like, Griffey and Randy Johnson, are you kidding me? And then he wears Randy Johnson's number, and instantly becomes the face of that organization. Mm-hmm. There's a drill that he does. You're talking about his arm. Yep. I see it all over the internet. We do it at the end of practice. You put the bats upside down on the plate. So the barrel is sitting on the plate and it looks like bowling pins. You get to the pitcher's mound and you got to hit the bats with the ball. And it's like you're bowling. You get three strikes. I've seen this guy over and over and over in all these different videos. You want to talk about accuracy? I mean, he's knocking down all the pins, all the bats that are upright with one pitch. He's unbelievable. They said he could throw upper 90s to 100.
I believe it.
I kind of do.
I'm just reading stories. I was reading all these stories last night about Ichiro. They were saying that fans from Japan were taking $2,000 baseball tours, sometimes flying in and out of the U.S. just to watch Ichiro play. Reporters, obviously. And we see it with Shohei Ohtani now with all the Japanese media in the building and the photographers giving media access. Well, Ichiro coming off of Nomo, and who was it, Hideki Arabu with the New York Yankees.
Matsui.
You know, Matsui, of course, Godzilla. And Ichiro comes in, and he's a different type of player, right? Doesn't hit for power. Although, he did have one of the, probably the most electric play in All-Star memory here. Here it is, inside the park home run at Oracle Park.
Here's a shot into deep right field. Back at the wall. Ichiro hits it off the wall. It takes a weird carom, and Ichiro may circle the bases. In to score is Roberts. Here comes Ichiro. Inside the park home run.
Joe Buck got a call 2007. Ichiro stole the show there. Don't forget, Ichiro, one of the only players to win Rookie of the Year and MVP in the same season.
Incredible.
I mean, it was incredible, right? I mean, Fred Lynn did it with the Red Sox. Ichiro's an all-timer. He's fun. Now, you get to Billy Wagner, and he's, you know, I think of Billy Wagner. Do I think Hall of Fame? Probably not.
I thought he was really, really good.
Good for him.
But like, you asked me a question. Was he ever the best? Because I think this is something like, for Frank Gore is a great example. Like, you can make the argument, Frank was never the best running back at any given time in his tenure in the NFL. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't really good. But when I think of like the best closers in the game, it's like at that time, like before him, Lee Smith, right? When I think of closers back in the day, obviously Mariano Rivera, John Wetland for a period of time was Trevor the number Hoffman. One. John Franco was the number one for a minute there. Trevor Hoffman comes to mind. I don't necessarily go right to Billy Wagner. That being said, I always liked them. Lefty closers are unique. 5'10", 5'9", lefty closers are even more
solid.
Unique.
He was solid. I just don't.
400 saves is something.
It is something. I just don't think of Hall of Fame when I think of Billy Wagner. Nah, I don't know what it is. It's just like, if I had to give the ball to Billy Wagner or Rob Nen, for example, I'm probably giving the ball to Rob Nen.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, because we were having the debate about King Felix, Felix Hernandez. And I love CC Sabathia. I told you all the things on the front end. I mean, game for my life, game seven. I'm handing the ball to King Felix over CC. And I love CC, but part of making the Hall of Fame isn't how great you were over a whatever period of time. It's longevity. It's the counting stats. And that's where I think it gets a little murky. You know, like Tim Lincecum's never going to get in the Hall of Fame. I still think he's one of the greatest pitchers in San Francisco Giants history. But I don't think he'll ever be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he'll even get a statue. I think he deserves a statue. But if you get outside of the Bay Area, people will be like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, did he even get 150 wins? Mm-hmm. You know?
No, but it's wild. So you look at the Hall of Fame list here. Ichiro Suzuki, CC, Billy Wagner. Billy Wagner gets 82.5% of the vote. Carlos Beltran falls just flat at a Hall of Fame, 70%. He needs 35% to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Andrew Jones. I saw a quote from Chipper Jones said, if Andrew Jones was a New York Yankee, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He got 66% of the vote. Also, Chase Utley, just 40% of the vote. A-Rod still on the ballot, 37%.
Utley low. I thought Utley was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and Manny Ramirez, 34%. I mean, come on, man.
Utley was one of the premier players at second base for a long time.
I love Chase Utley.
Take off our Philly hate, because I know a lot of Giants fans hate the Phillies, and specifically Utley because of the Sanchez stuff. He was awesome.
I love Chase Utley. Loved him.
You feared him like no other, right?
I mean, he would take the first pitch. He could steal bases. He hit for power. He's spicy. I love Chase Utley. Alex Rodriguez. I mean, Manny Ramirez. They're sitting there in the 30s. Look, I mean,
people are going to say that I'm crazy. I think Alex Rodriguez is one of the top three most talented players to ever play baseball.
Yeah, he's a top 10 player of all time.
Like, I think he's the greatest shortstop ever.
Pete Rose did too.
You know, I told myself, you know, just about 10 minutes ago, I don't get outraged over the Hall of Fame. And I don't. But when I look at it and I'm staring at it in the face, Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, 37% of the vote. 34% of the vote. I'm thinking, okay, was it tainted? Was it not? Manny Ramirez possibly, even with Alex Rodriguez right there as a right-handed bat, maybe for my money, maybe the most talented right-handed batter I've ever seen in my life.
Fonte, think
Manny
about
Manny Ramirez was amazing.
You he can't write the history of the game. It, like, think about what he did in Boston. Just Boston. I know Cleveland, he was awesome, too. Think about what he did in Boston. You can't write the history of the game without including him. We can have whatever feelings you want about steroids, like, individually. The truth is, like, can you write the history of the game without talking about Man Ram?
Yeah.
He's one of the baddest.
I don't think he can. I mean, Andrew Jones has two more years, but no, Manny Ramirez, when he would get in that box, and he just had fun playing the game. I smile when I watch Manny Ramirez.
I totally agree.
555 home runs, over 300 batting average. You talk about his Cleveland years coming in. I mean, 91 games played, 94, 17 jacks, 60 RBIs. Next year, 31 to 107, 33, 112, 26, 88, 45, 145, 44, 165, 38, 122, 41, 125. I mean, come on, man.
Even when he was with the Dodgers, he wasn't bad.
No, when he was with the Dodgers, he was sick.
With number 99.
Yes, he was sick. I had him fantasy baseball. And he got, everybody was trying to trade for him. I remember I was like, nope, he's leading me to the championship. And then I wake up on Yahoo and it's like, Manny Ramirez, pot for steroids. I'm like, no. And he still tried to play. He tried to play in the minors. Remember he had a Cubs uniform on? I think he tried to play in the A's training camp.
Yeah, he had an A's jersey at one point.
An A's jersey on, dude.
Sweet.
So,
dude.
Like, Ichiro is a guy that, like, we don't really hear him talk because obviously, you know, for the most part speaks in another language. Though everyone around him says that he speaks perfectly fine English. I can't say that, you know, one way or the other. But when I think of, like, Ichiro, not a lot of personality, but the play was so intoxicating, it made it awesome to watch. Manny Ramirez, that's the personality all of sports is missing these days. Aloof, goofy. My favorite play of all time that I can't get enough of is when the ball gets hit to center field at Fenway Park, and somehow, some way, he thinks he's the cutoff coming back into the infield, and he cuts it off, and he's like diving to make this cutoff play.
Right.
It's an all-time laugher moment for me.
It's, well, one of my favorite moments is Camden Yards when Manny Ramirez, a double guy, hit off the wall, and he jumps on the wall as he's retrieving the ball and gives a fan a high five.
That was all play. Time. Totally
I mean,
agree.
Come on, man. Manny all Ramirez time. Is all Manny time. Ramirez is awesome, man.
He was great for baseball.
So 5-1-0, Jeff can't get in, he can't get in. I've fought for Jeff Kent for many years.
That's a joke.
It's not happening. So the Baseball Hall of Fame is what it is. It's why it gets laughed at year in and year out. And it's why I'm driving around yesterday. I was like, oh, they had the Baseball Hall of Fame announcement. I remember I used to rush home, go to MLB Network, 3 o'clock, whatever it was, West Coast time. You get Costas, you get Verducci, your favorite. You get all these guys at MLB panelists talking about the Hall of Fame, Brian Kinney. I had no clue. I was just so aloof to the moment.
The NFL does it so well because it's right before Super Bowl. Yeah. Like they lead, they make it a big thing leading up with all the awards, and they do it the same weekend, the same night. Real quick, you guys were talking about Billy Wagner, and he had, 422 saves in his career. So the guys that are on track or have actually Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, I know that.
So Kenley Jansen has 447 saves. Hall of Famer for you guys?
Kenley Jansen, see, to me, even though his body of work is incredible, I don't view him as a Hall of Famer. That being said, I think he's going to get in.
Another guy would be Craig Kimbrell, 440 saves right now. He looks like
career,
he's...
The way his career is ending.
So up and down.
Yeah, he's getting rocked a little bit here.
9-time All-Star, World Series champion, Rookie of the Year.
What about someone like Papelbon? What did he end up with? Because I don't view Papelbon as a Hall of Famer, but then again, if the numbers are comprehensive.
It is cool.
368 saves for Papelbon, so he didn't hit the 400, but he was a 6-time All-Star.
He was great.
Won a World Series, obviously.
He was great.
7-time All-Star, Billy Wagner.
Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Billy Wagner became a ninth pitcher in the Hall, was primarily a reliever. The first left-handed reliever in the Hall of Fame, which is cool. I didn't know this about him, though. When I was learning yesterday, he pitched at Tiny Firm College, a D3 school, so he's the first D3 pitcher to make it to Cooperstown. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
That is dope. Let's get to skills real quick. And Vallejo, he says he went to high school with CeCe.
Oh, let's
skills
hear it.
Pays the bills. You went to high school with CeCe. What the hell are you doing listening to us, Skills?
Leo class 98. Yes, I was right there with Mr. Sabathia. We weren't buddies, but we knew each other.
Yeah.
And I just want to be the first to congratulate him on reaching the Hall of Fame. He certainly deserves it. He was a great human being in addition to being a great three-sport athlete at Vallejo High. Could have been drafted probably in football and basketball too if he wanted to take that path. But I want to just tell you guys a couple quick stories about him that hopefully I can tell them in a way that they're, you know, interesting and not one of those you had to be there type stories. The first one was there was one day after, towards the end of class one day, he's in the back of the class and he's very popular. You know, he has a bunch of people around him and he had just pitched for Vallejo High the night before. And everyone's talking and laughing and doing their thing. And this girl says to him, asks him if he's pitching that night too. And he goes from laughing and jolly and this look just goes across his face like, what did she just say to me? And he says, are you crazy? I just threw 109 pitches last night. It's one of those, I guess you had to be there, but it was so freaking funny. and then the second quick story I'll tell you, I actually played one-on-one hoops against him one time back in high school. And he was already 6'7", 250, probably around that time. And I was only 6'2", 220. So we played, and the truth is, he beat me 10-3 easily. I was not even going to be in doubt, but he didn't beat me using his size. He beat me. He bought me like a point guard. He just shook me, dribbled me, took me to the hole over and over again. Now, granted, I was going out of my way not to hurt him because we all knew he was going to get drafted. So I was certainly not going to put hands on him so I could help him, but I don't think that would have made a difference. So he had those kind of skills, even a 6'7", 250, and just, you know, abused me. And, you know, he's, like I said, a great guy, very popular, very likable, very down to earth, very humble, in spite of everything that was coming to him and he was achieving at Vallejo High. So congratulations again to him. He deserves it.
He's absolutely a guy that I think of when I think of baseball. We need more of guys like him. I'm talking about CeCe.
And he's a good ambassador right now. Yeah. He's still involved in the game.
Absolutely.
That's a good podcast. He's funny. He's talked about his struggles with the alcohol, and he's done a good job of clean that up. I love CeCe Sabathia, man.
Did you hear
love
his cereal issue? Let's get to it on the other side.
Yeah, he had a big cereal issue. He's a big boy. We all had a cereal issue at some point.
I still have a cereal issue.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.